now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancake and Power Slam show. We are here live on a Tuesday night with the Go Home show for Raw, preparing for the Royal Rumble here. It's going to be a pretty abbreviated episode today because, to be honest with you, I was so disgusted with the Raw episode that, to be honest with you, as a I'm a journalist. I write for two very reputable sites, but at the same time, I was very dissatisfied with Raw, so not going to take much to explain how bad it was. And like I said, this is the last week of the just the format, the alternative format that we had of just recapping Raw. Like I said, we want to set up for the Royal Rumble, and so we just focused on Raw past episode. And we'll go back to the regular formatting. However, we will focus on Raw leading up to the Royal Rumble, which is this Sunday. So without further ado, we will go to the Raw. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Definitely welcome your calls. Let us know what you think, what you thought about the Raw episode. We are definitely willing to have your input on the episode. Thanks so much for continuing to support us. The numbers are still great. I'm still, you know, doing some when I'm looking at the numbers and everything of the shows, they are still very, very supportive and very stable. So thank you so much for your constant, continual support as we head up to the milestone episode. All right, so Raw starts off with Vicky Guerrero and Paul Heyman in-ring promo. They comment about the Rock concert last week and how the Rock bashed them. Like I said last week, the Rock concert wasn't that good to me. It was probably the worst one out of all of the Rock concerts, which I believe there were four total. Last week was definitely the worst. Rock is shown in the parking lot talking to security. You know, there was a couple jabs that he had that was pretty funny. So I was that was a relief of that segment because it was just ridiculously long. Beat the clock challenge they had for this go home episode of Raw. Usually a big fan of beat the clock challenges, but however, I misheard. Like I didn't hear initially what they had the beat the clock challenge for, and then I heard eventually that it was for the a spot to pick a spot for the entry into the Royal Rumble, so. The first one was Randy Orton defeating Antonio Cesaro in 11 minutes 36 seconds. Good match. I believe this was the best match of the evening by far. I can see, well, I don't think it's going to happen, but I could definitely see a good feud between Orton and Cesaro. However, I do believe that Randy Orton will be turning heel soon, and Cesaro, Cesaro is good, and they're really investing a lot in him, but I don't see him being a main event level person yet. Will they be bold enough to have him win the Royal Rumble, even as U.S. champion? I don't know. Maybe you should check out Bleacher Report and see my second dark horse choice for the Royal Rumble. My first was The Miz. You can check that out on BleacherReport.com. And basically, dark horse is called Dark Horse. Looking Dark Horse Royal Rumble runners, two parts, and I already wrote part one. And basically, I would say a dark horse winner of the Royal Rumble. Not necessarily going to win, but just in case, you know, this person is a dark horse, meaning that, you know, he very well could win and have a successful booking leading to WrestleMania. And my article actually book him until WrestleMania. So, I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble and everything that it entails. And so, you know, we'll see. We'll see as far as the next one goes. Check out Bleacher Report to see my my next choice for the Royal Rumble winner. And next we have a show vignette. It was okay. Still, you know, pretty weird as far as the Randy Orton attacks and everything else. Doesn't seem like it's going to go too far. Randy Orton's in the Rumble. Shield's in the Rumble, if I recall. So it's not really a payoff to that. And maybe they'll do something at Elimination Chamber. I doubt it either way. So. Big Show defeats Zack Ryder, throwaway match of the evening. The funniest part of that match, I'll tell you what, Brett Maddox is earning stripes for me, for sure, because I really think that this guy is starting to become incredibly funny. And he's just real, it's real spur-of-the-moment type of guy, real cocky, egotistical. He's really funny, and for him to just jump over the barricade and coming to the announcer's table was a very, very good idea. And I actually think that Maddox would be a pretty successful announcer, a heel announcer. I think from what I tell of his personality, a wrestler wouldn't be a good idea for him, but I definitely could see either a manager or an announcer in his future. I would be totally okay with that. So, and then, of course, Big Show cuts a promo afterwards, you know, in regards to his match against our brother Del Rio come Sunday. Trivia question, name one of Triple H's WCW gimmicks. Name one of Triple H's WCW gimmicks. All right, and then we get Paul Heyman and Brad Maddox backstage segment. Somehow they're an alliance. I wonder how long that's going to stick. And I also wonder if everything is going to culminate of these people being aligned with CM Punk in the first place. We kind of saw that in the second hour with the Rock thing. We'll get to that later, but I think maybe a culmination of CM Punk being affiliated with Maddox and the Shield should come because just the random attacks by the Shield, at least Maddox rebounded a little bit with his character now. But the Shield, I mean, just these random attacks, I mean, they're getting very, very redundant. So not too big of a fan of it anymore, without question, just not a big fan. Ryback defeats Heath Slater, cuts post-match promo. And to be honest with you, I am not opposed to Ryback's promos. Ryback himself is starting to lose a lot of interest to me. And it's sad, too, because I was really high on Ryback towards the end of the year. But I think the very fact that they really pushed him to the moon and there was no payoff at the end except for just random Shield attacks constantly to continue to have him lose the matches. Those constant attacks just, you know, was not good. And it hasn't been good, and it's really, I mean, we'll get to the Royal Rumble predictions. At the end, we'll do the predictions as far as who I think is going to win the Royal Rumble, and, you know, we'll see how I feel come that portion. But just keep in mind what I said as far as Ryback is concerned. Yes, indeed. We have Terror Rising. He also was Jean-Paul Levesque and Jean-Paul Lubsum. So, interesting bit there. I had a recent conversation about certain people in the WCW that just did not go over at all. And they became, you know, Hall of Famers or shoe-in Hall of Famers. And the WWE, Levesque was hardly over whatsoever. Edge was in the WCW for a hot second. He was Sexton Hardcastle. So, really interesting tidbit there. Jericho was over. He was very over, but I never would have imagined Bischoff or any of the booking staff make him world champion. So his acquisition in the WWE was definitely a good move for Jericho. Back to The Rock talking to the security. You know, a couple more funny moments, but at the end, just way too much talking. Incredibly too much talking for this Raw. The bashing of the Raw has not came. I'm doing the formal recap here. Trying to be as, you know, as unbiased as possible, you know, just me as my job, what I do in the wrestling business, you know, as a writer, a journalist, and a reporter, you know, try not to be biased. Of course, this is my show, so, you know, thank you all who support the times that I do get pretty heated in my beliefs. When it comes to certain wrestling elements and when I do become biased, but I'm going to show some extreme bias concerning this Raw, and yeah, it's not good. So let's continue with the recap here. Vicky Guerrero interrupts the Rock talking to the security, and of course we heard someone, one of the security guards, talk about having a ticket. His wife and kid is in there, and they were trying not to crack up laughing when The Rock was talking. And then, you know, the security guard has a spare ticket. That is just oddly weird because it would seem like the security guard would have free admission to inside the show. And I was wondering if, why would he have a ticket if he knew that he had to work? Was it on call security? It was just a weird altogether. And then when Vicky said something like, I'll suspend the security. What? The security is not employed by the WWE. They're employed, you know, usually by the state. So, or you know, at least something, at least within the building. I mean, the facility, you know, higher security, has nothing to do with the WWE. So WWE has their own event staff, but so does arenas. And So usually the event staff and the security is totally in-house. So that was just really weird to me. Vicky's been really slipping up on a couple of times. There was a moment last week where she was stuttering. And I don't know if it's getting to her. I don't know exactly why, but Vicky Guerrero is really starting to drop the ball when it comes to her position in the WWE right now. I mean, she still gets a good heel heat, so I will give her that. CM Punk promo, I mean, it was okay. I mean, but still, it seems like they just kind of gave up on the hype of this match. The hype was built, you know, all the way from Raw 1000 back in July. CM Punk managed to keep the title. There were reports that The Rock wanted to feud with CM Punk. The thing is, though, this feud altogether, I don't know if it was just the lack of Rock appearances, which very well could have been, because Cena and Rock was kind of 2 years, because The Rock, you know, he was a special guest at WrestleMania 26 when John Cena went against The Miz. And then, of course, he helped The Miz win. And then, of course, that started The Rock and Cena main event, which was at 27. And then, you know, I'm sorry, 27 is when The Rock came and he went against, he was a special guest, and Miz beat Cena at 27, and then Rock beats Cena at 28. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe because it was more time with the Cena build, but The Rock and Cena feud just totally supersedes Rock and Punk. I'm just not sold on Rock and Punk whatsoever. It's been way too much talking. I mean, just the interviews. I mean, the thing is, Cena and Rock had good interviews because they were one-upping each other. The chemistry of Rock and CM Punk is just not there. I mean, I've read articles talking about, you know, how CM Punk and Rock can be better than Cena and Rock. As many of you know, I am not a John Cena fan by any stretch of the imagination. However, you know, I always give credit where credit's due, and Cena-Rock was a good feud. I mean, the booking, honestly, I didn't know that the WWE had it in them as far as the modern day booking to actually successfully book a feud for an entire year. I was impressed. But this Punk and Rock feud, I mean, I give the WWE kudos for trying it, for just, you know, attempting to make it worthwhile, but I'm not buying it whatsoever, and I really hope that the Royal Rumble is the last that we see of these two together. Maybe a triple threat match, you know, with Cena involved come WrestleMania time. But Rock and Punk, it's just a no. So before I go further, we have our esteemed Raw correspondent, Derek, here this week. And, of course, he's going to let us know what he has about the Raw episode. What do you got, sir?
The Raw episode, we need to have a moment of silence for Raw. Okay, after that, Raw was horrible.
Yeah.
I'm on your side about that. It was kind of a joke. The one thing that really stood out for me was The Miz. He looked great against Ziggler, even though he lost. The Miz, I think, could be an up-and-coming star as far as in the next year or two to hold Raw to the what it used to be. Team Hell No was kind of funny. When I watched that, it has the old WWF humor to it. So, but it, again, it, that itself, and it's getting kind of old. They need something else to laugh about and have fun with. The Rock and CM Punk, I agree with you. It's kind of a boring, lost angle. So The Rock couldn't even pull Raw out of the slump that it was in last night. I totally agree with you about that. And Mick Foley going to into the Hall of Fame. Yay! What is the WWE Hall of Fame? Is it a place you can go to? Something that you can hold on to? No, not really. But as far as a Raw correspondent, Raw was simple last night. Very simple, very plain. Could have been a lot better. Could have been a lot worse, but I'm not to judge that. I want to say that The Rock can add a lot more excitement to the show, but he didn't last night. He did not deliver. The Royal Rumble is coming up. That's going to be an exciting event. I'm looking forward to it, but the build-up to it has been somewhat lousy. I'll see you next week. Talk to you. Bye.
Awesome. Yes. Very, very much agree. The Raw, I mean, the build-up for the Royal Rumble, for this to be one of the top pay-per-views of the entire year, probably number two behind the, I mean, it's the pay-per-view that lead, you know, the basically the jump start to the road to WrestleMania. So for the go-home show to be this bad, and also, you know, for us to get this type of feud with Rock and Punk, I'm just not buying this year. I mean, like, it was a bold move for Rock to announce, you know, him main eventing the Rumble. I guess he was the one-day GM at the Raw 1000 because he booked his own match, what it seems like. But you know, it was a gutsy move for them to use him as a big marquee player for the Royal Rumble. I will give the WWE that. However, just has not delivered whatsoever. Great analysis there, Derek. Very much agree. Meet the Clock Challenge. Dolph Ziggler defeats Miz, as he was talking about. It was a good match for sure. Miz is my guy. I mean, like, like I said, you can subscribe to iTunes for the archive. You can listen to every single episode of Pancakes and Power Slams, nearly a year strong, approaching 50. And so, you would see from the previous episodes that I was not a Miz fan. As Miz is a heel, I was totally not favor of. I did not like Miz as a heel whatsoever. But the thing is, as a babyface, I'm on board. I like it. I like what they're doing with the Miz TV episodes. A lot of people criticize the Miz TV episodes, but the thing is, it puts him on TV, and it doesn't allow him to just randomly job to people. I mean, it's not a bad thing that he's having the shows. It would be a bad thing if he jobs constantly to a Barrett or Cesaro or Ziggler, someone of that nature. But you know, they're doing good with him. Yes, he lost against Ziggler, but Ziggler's a Money in the Bank winner. So you know, and plus, you know, we saw Big E and AJ have some interference there as well. So, you know, it wasn't necessarily a clean win all the way. So I think that was a good idea to have the Miz lose like that. Anger Management graduation ceremony, just one huge waste of time. Oh, my goodness. I mean, for this to be the culmination of the anger management angle that was incredibly funny in the beginning, even when they had Scorpio Sky as Harold for a while, you know, those moments were really funny. I mean, to bring it was interesting for Daniel Bryan and Kane to be affiliated through AJ and them to basically, you know, loathe each other, in so much for them both to go to anger management class, and then all of a sudden they hug. The classes were funny, and then for them to become tag team champions. I think that the whole angle, you know, as far as the build to it for them to become champions was well done. For the most part, it was well done. But just to see this, I mean, just to see just the tail end of it, yeah, it's got to end. I mean, the thing is, I'm not too big on Team Road Scholars, but that's really the best that they have now. Other than the primetime players, I don't know what it was, but the primetime players is just an afterthought now. I don't know if it was after Titus O'Neil had that really, really funny moment with Lawler and Cole. But, you know, it was really funny, and there was reports actually saying that McMahon liked it a lot, that he wanted him more on the mic, but he bombed on SmackDown. I don't blame it all on O'Neil, though. It's just a different type of breed on SmackDown. But we really haven't heard much from the primetime players as far as, you know, highlighted exposure since then. So I wonder exactly what's the cause of the primetime players not having it. But I honestly, you know, I would choose the primetime players over Team Road Scholars to be the number one contenders, because Team Road Scholars is getting a bit redundant to me, because they're a makeshift tag team that doesn't have that won't stick. I mean, the thing is, with Damian Sandow and then, you know, Cody Rhodes, he had a few opportunities to become a top player, but didn't deliver. I like Cody, and I hope he, you know, becomes successful, but they haven't been really booking him well. But Damian Sandow is an up-and-comer, you know, and, you know, he had a really, really huge push before it kind of got scaled back a bit when he teamed with Cody. So I can see them taking another attempt to push Damian pretty tough, but in that sense, I don't see them teaming up for a long time. But Primetime Players is a legitimate tag team, so, you know, I really would have wished that they chose to push them instead of Team Road Scholars. Kayla defeats Alicia Fox. That was the most boring match of the night. I mean, thing is, I was just discussing with a colleague yesterday about Raw, and, you know, I mentioned during that match, the reaction of the Divas division is indicative of, I mean, the reaction of that match is indicative of the Divas division these days. Alicia Fox is a babyface, by the way. So they're just throwing her in there because of a lack of talent. And so Caitlin wins. One thing, the only thing I like about the Divas division right now is that they're trying, well, two things. One, and these are, I mean, I'm pulling these, you know, out of, you know, needles. These are needles in a haystack, basically. I like that they're potentially going to push Tamina Snuka, because absolutely she should be the Divas champion, and someone should chase her, not Caitlin, but someone should chase her. I will say that Caitlin has grown exponentially as far as her talent is concerned from NXT. I mean, it was her very first time wrestling in NXT. And of course, it was bad. So she's gotten better. I do give her kudos for her progress. But Caitlyn is just not over. I mean, I like her spear. I like the fact that she does that now. But she's just not over. She never really was. Eve was over as a heel. I didn't like Eve at all. She was just like, it was just something about her that was just, I don't know, like just pointless to me and annoying. But, you know, she did what she needed to do as a heel to be over enough. Tamina may be over as a heel. She's got the talent to do it. But as far as anybody else, I don't understand. I mean, AJ being a heel now with Ziggler, that relegates her, that just really limits her career. Ziggler still affiliated with someone. Big E Langston with Ziggler, too, is not the best in the world. The very fact that Ziggler still is affiliated with someone just really implies to me that WWE just don't really want him to be that top guy right now or in the foreseeable future. I mean, he has the Money in the Bank briefcase, and hopefully that can propel him to become a star, because it did it with Daniel Bryan, because when he had that case, he was still losing. And when he won, it was a surprise, but at the same time, you know, his career really skyrocketed from that point when he made his heel turn. But Dolph Ziggler was already healed. So there's been some rumors that a babyface turn may be in the near future. But, I mean, I just really don't see it with Ziggler at this point in time. Sadly enough, because I like Ziggler a lot, honestly, but I just don't see it being any type of success. Next, we get a Paul Heyman in-ring promo interrupted by The Rock. Then he cuts a really long promo to CM Punk, who's in the club seats. Just CM Punk in the club seats was a good idea. And then the quote unquote Paul bomb that Heyman called is he said it wasn't going to be a pipe bomb, it was going to be more a Paul bomb. I have no idea or ever will know what in the world a Paul bomb is. And based on Raw, I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because Heyman's gold on the mic, but that gold was needed to be shined last night on Raw, for sure. And then Rock's promo on Punk was just blah, too. I mean, I wasn't... I don't know what it is. I mean, you know, I was having another kind of conversation with a colleague about people, in my opinion, that could work well, could mess well with The Rock right now. I thought it could have been Punk would be one of them, but not really. And then we were thinking of heels that would be, but we really couldn't find a heel right now that could mesh well with The Rock as far as a greater scale is concerned. Because right now, you know, you gotta have to put, like, it's a marquee, you know, angle. Every time The Rock's affiliated with the WWE, it's a marquee angle. The only people I can think of right now is if Daria was a heel. Maybe, a really high maybe Del Rio. I think The Miz would work because they had some interaction beforehand. And, of course, Survivor Series back in 2011 was John Cena and The Rock versus The Miz and R-Truth, Awesome Truth. And so, you know, the confrontations that he had with The Miz weren't too bad. So, I mean, you know, it possibly could work. So, got a caller here. Give us your name, where you're from, and what do you have? You're
my name is Jason from Sacramento.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, you know, the thing about the Raw is they don't know how to make mid-carders turn into superstars. You've got people like Dolph Ziggler and The Miz, so on and so forth. You know, back in the day, they could make someone like Val Venus, someone like the Road Dogg, and just turn them into almost main card status. They have the main carders that they have now, and they just hold on to them and latch on to them. They don't know how to make the up-and-comers into superstars anymore. That's what's lacking in Raw, from my opinion. And it's nice to see The Rock and everyone again, but again, it's The Rock over and over again. Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, there are so many people that have so much potential that Raw just doesn't push. Vince McMahon doesn't push. Back in the 90s, you had Chris Jericho, you had Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero. They finally pushed them and gave them the superstar status that they deserved at the time. So what's your thoughts on that? Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jason, for calling. I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, it's just like, and it's interesting that, like I said, you know, talking with my colleague yesterday about people who would work, and the very fact that, you know, the caller just said something about that is really it's a good segue to, you know, talking about how the WWE, and this is, and I'm going to say this, this is what I told my colleague yesterday. The WWE has the talent. They have the talent to make future stars, future mega stars. They have the talent. They have the talent to make Cody Rhodes a mega star in the future, to make, I mean, honestly, I think even Ted DiBiase could have been a mega star in the future. You know, Alex Riley was a big deal for a second. And Alex Riley, interesting enough, Alex Riley still gets pops. And it was good to see Alex Riley on Raw yesterday, actually. So that was pretty cool. But they have people. I mean, of course, the Dolph Ziggler's, the Miz, as Jason was mentioning. You know, and they have the mid-carders similar to the Jerichos and the Benoits and the Guerreros, you know, of old, of the RVDs of old that became main eventers, that was pushed. No, and it was pushed. It was pushed in a good way to become, you know, main event stars. They had that talent. That talent never went away. The booking, however, has gotten so bad, you know, as far as really spending time to push good talent. You have the Miz. Miz can be the guy. And I'm telling you, this is January 22nd, 2013, Pancakes and Power Slam show. Chris Featherstone says, Miz has what it takes to be the future of the WWE. When he was a heel and when he was feuding against Cena, this guy was getting so many pops, it was crazy, and I couldn't stand him. But however, people liked the Miz. You know, and of course, you know, they poorly booked him, and he started jobbing after he lost to Cena. You know, the latter part of his heel run, I mean, he was just Ryback's whipping boy, and you know, lost a few matches to Kofi Kingston, so you know, things like that. So yeah, so thanks so much for calling, for tuning in, and we will see you soon. Bye. All right. Sorry for the interruption there. Yeah, that was an interruption. We are still here live. All right. So, you know, we're talking about people who, this is part two, I'm guessing. But we were just talking about how people were many vendors that were available, mid-carders that were, that became many vendors, and consequently became stars. And I really think that people like the Miz, like I was saying, the Miz is a top guy for the WWE now. And so I think that you definitely have the potential, you have the ability to push people. However, it's just not the same, like it used to be. So I don't know exactly what is going on. So still got some Royal Rumble. And we still got the rest of Raw here. I'll tell you what. As far as that segment with The Rock is concerned, the only good thing about that is The Rock was attacked by the Shield, and that was a good call on that. And I think the very fact that The Rock was attacked by the Shield, like I said earlier in the show, I think that the CM Punk thing, I think that the CM Punk angle has the potential has the potential to be okay. You know what I mean? Just add some type of intrigue if the Shield actually was involved with The Rock. I mean, with CM Punk, that would actually be a good idea. So, but you know, the more the indirect stuff that we're seeing with the Shield, I mean, the Shield needs some direction. They need some direction fast. I mean, they really do. They really need some type of direction really fast here. So, hopefully, we'll see that soon. Sheamus and Wade Barrett went to the time limit expired because Ziggler came out towards the latter parts and distracted the match. So Ziggler, and the beat the clock challenge at the end of the day was just pointless because they went back to the backstage segment talking about Vicky Guerrero. You know, they had the backstage and Vicky Guerrero basically telling Ziggler that she can choose between one and two. That Ziggler can choose between one or two. I mean, that really made the beat the clock challenge just pointless. So, just another thing that happened on Raw that was just totally stupid. Vince, Punk, and Heyman talk backstage, and more talking. I mean, and just more of bringing up the suspense about Punk and the Shield. And then, the Shield's not basically the Shield can't attack Rock, at the Rumble, just more talking. Alberto Del Rio defeats Tensai. I've said this so many times, and I will just continue to say it. Poor Tensai. I mean, oh, man, this guy, is just totally, nothing now. And he needs to go back. He needs to get out of Tensai as soon as possible if he wants to have any type of relevance in the WWE. And then Del Rio cuts a post-match promo about his win. So, good. Probably the best thing of the whole show was Bob Backlund being inducted in the Hall of Fame. There was some reports about that, about Backlund being a name. And, I mean, well deservedly. I mean, this guy was the second longest, is the second longest single reign champion in WWE history. A lot of people don't understand. Bob Backlund had that belt for, the better, just, around the 6-year mark. I mean, second to San Martino that had it for just about 8. So, I mean, for anyone to have the WWE title for 6 years And Backlund wasn't the most over person, but at the same time, I mean, he was a very good technical wrestler. And Vince had to have enough, well, actually, you know, Vince Sr. had to have enough, you know, investment in him and confidence in him to make him a, you know, a six-year champion. I mean, that is a long time. That is astronomically long for one person to hold the belt. He's overlooked a lot. I mean, as far as that, I mean, people continue to, you know, say Martino had it for 8, Hogan had it for 4, you know, and so it's like Backlund is usually overlooked. So I kudos to Backlund when he came back in the early to mid 90s and calling people plebeians and made the heel turn at Bret Hart. That was really funny. But, you know, I think, and it was interesting, too, that I was just thinking about how, like, wow, I mean, at that point in time, they really invested in Bob Backlund at that time. You know, it didn't seem like Backlund necessarily fit the mold of the WWE as far as where they were going. But they had enough, you know, confidence in that Backlund would do it. And he wasn't too bad of a champion either. So definitely kudos to Bob Backlund. Well-deserved, well-deserved Hall of Fame induction there. Video package was good as well. And then finally a John Cena promo. I mean, this was another horrible part. I mean, what in the world was this all about? His promo was just horrible. I mean, and the thing is, for me to say something good about John Cena these days is just totally different than how I used to be. But I will say, and like I said in previous episodes, you can check it out through iTunes or through Blog Talk Radio. I also have them archived there. But subscribe to iTunes, though. Cheap plug there. Subscribe to iTunes. Pancakes and Power Slams. But through the previous episodes that I've had of, you know, you've seen that, you've heard, for all of our frequent listeners and our new listeners, you've seen or you will hear that I will give Cena credit where credit is due. Cena's good on the mic. I mean, Cena has the power to, and he has the ability to have people boo him like crazy, which is normal. But he has the good mic work that at one point in time you'll just hear mostly cheers. So he has that ability. So however, this promo was absolutely terrible. I mean, I don't know exactly, was it a roast of himself? Was he roasting himself? Was he pulling, you know, a stand-up comedy routine that was just, that fell flat? I mean, what was that? And then, you know, and then at the end, he gets interrupted by Sheamus, and then Primetime Players, and then right before Orton's, around the same time Orton's music came on, this Primetime Players is just funny. But Darren Young, surprisingly, usually Titus O'Neil is the one who's the clown, who's been more over recently. But Darren Young pulled a pretty funny line when he said, "Ain't nobody got time for that." Look that up on YouTube if you don't know what I'm referencing. But that was really funny. And then Randy Orton comes out, then The Miz, and Kane and Daniel Bryan, then Cesaro, and then 3MB, and then the rest of the roster, and then we see some type of Royal Rumble prelude. It was just terrible. I didn't even know this Ryback was in there until later on. And then we just saw a bunch of people get thrown out. So it's like, you have this Royal Rumble match, which I love the Royal Rumble match. It's a very suspenseful and sometimes unpredictable match. But you have people who are being thrown out quickly in this little bitty Royal Rumble prelude. Why in the world would I believe? I mean, like, the thing is, I already know that there's just only a handful of superstars that have a shot at winning every year, for the most part. But it's like, I mean, like for instance, we saw Santino back in the 40-man Battle Royal in 2011. Santino was the runner-up. I mean, who in the world would have thought that Santino Marella was the runner-up? And for a really, really quick second, it really seemed like he had a shot of winning, which would have been crazy. But at the same time, like, you got people, even in this little raw Battle Royal thing, that just gets thrown out the ring. And so if they're that expendable on a Raw, just imagine them, you know, at the actual Raw Rumble pay-per-view, they're not going to stand a chance. So, I mean, but the good thing is Alex Riley was out there. You know, we really don't see him often. There's a couple other people that, Curt Hawkins, there was a story on WrestlingInc.com that talked about him and his new look. And we saw his new look barely because he got thrown out, and they only had a really, really small shot on him. So it was just barely, very, very barely. So, yeah, all in all, such a horrible, horrible Raw, and totally dissatisfied with the go-home show for Raw. And from what I've seen, you know, through Bleacher Report, through the articles that I've read, through, you know, the reports that I've been doing, you know, through Wrestling Inc. And so forth, it's pretty, it's just about unanimous that people are just very dissatisfied. It made this really look like, seem like the creative took the night off. And, just very dissatisfied with. I mean, for this to be a go-home show for probably this, I mean, SummerSlam is usually booked as the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, but Royal Rumble is, I mean, it's the pathway to WrestleMania. It's the gate. It's the gatekeeper, basically, or just the gate to WrestleMania. So for this show to be the go-home show to be this bad, which is not good at all. So. Thank you so much for listening. Apologize for the little brief hiccup there. Had some technical problems, but got that taken care of very quickly. Pancakes and Power Slams is going to be revamped. And I mean, like I said, I continue to be incredibly humbled by, I mean, four-figure listeners, continue to be humbled by all the people who supports Pancakes and Power Slams and continues to listen. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. I mean, Pancakes and Power Slams is going to be totally revamped coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to have more interaction. We have the trivia every week. Only got one question in today, but we'll do a lot more as we do normally. But next few weeks, we're going to have some really special surprises, so just stay tuned. Got some guests that's going to be here. More surprises down the pike, so just stay tuned. You definitely won't be dissatisfied like Raw episodes, this past Raw episode specifically. So continue to stay tuned. Call in. If you're listening to this show and you want to voice your opinion live in front of a national audience, call in. I'm going to definitely open the phone lines a lot more often now with the new format that the Pancakes and Power Slam show is going to have here in the near future. 347-884-8452 is the number to keep in your back pocket. We're going to do a lot more interaction. Of course, we're going to do the recaps, but we're going to focus more on just wrestling talk. We're going to talk about, and of course we have our flavor of the week. Like I said, this we changed the format a little bit leading to a Royal Rumble, but the flavor of the week, you know, we're still going to talk about that, but we're going to single out the flavor of the week, but at the same time you know, I want people to call in and just, you know, talk about the shows, but just, you know, ask me random questions. You know, I am the guru of professional wrestling, so I can tell you, we can talk anything of wrestling, any promotion as well. So, I mean, you know, WWE, WCW, ECW, WCCW, ROH, TNA, New Japan, All Japan. I mean, you know, I'm familiar with all of those. Dragon Gate USA, and then, you know, even some indies. So, you know, I love talking wrestling, and I'm very humbled that I've had this show for nearly a year now, approaching a year and about 2.5 months, and just the support that continues to really keep the show alive. So with that being said, once again, you know, we'll continue to say this until, you know, we have enough to really do the changes that we want. You know, give financially. Please give financially. CraveWrestling@gmail.com through PayPal. CraveWrestling@gmail.com is the email to give through PayPal. We need your help. And, you know, like I said, we got some really good things in store. But, you know, we need your help with it. So all the people that support, now look at the numbers, and it's a lot. You know, it's quite a bit of people who listen to the show weekly. And so if all those people gave $5-$10, we'd be in some really, really good, we've been in a really, really good position to take the show into, you know, insurmountable heights. So thank you so much for your support. Follow me through Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone. Check out my upcoming Dark Horse Booking Part 2. And check me out on WrestlingInc.com, just the number one news source for up-to-date wrestling scoops, news, very pertinent information. Check out WrestlingInc.com. Very humbled to be a part of the staff there. And also, like Crave Wrestling on Facebook for trivia and news and articles. And also, follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter. So, until next week, thank you so much for continuing to support. And we will see the Royal Rumble. Oh, my Royal Rumble winner. I apologize. My Royal Rumble winner, like I said, for all those who watched, but for those who listened to the show, but for those who are newly listening to the show, my winner still, I'm a little bit apprehensive more than before, but I'm still going to go with Ryback. Ryback is my pick to be the Royal Rumble winner. Mark it down, Chris Featherstone's Royal Rumble 2013 winner is Ryback. So with that being said, feed me more. Enjoy the Royal Rumble. I know it's going to be tons of fun. Please be safe. God bless. Have a great week of wrestling. Until next week, have a great one, and God bless. Goodbye.